fooled by the blackface that they put on this pro-war movement. Most black people, most Americans, the whole entire world is against the Bush administration going into war.
The Reverend Herbert Daughtry is an activist pastor of the House of the Lord Church in Brooklyn. He says there's already a poverty draft that is inherently unequal.
We, people of African ancestry, along with poor whites, will bear disproportionately the brunt of this war. So many of the people who are in the army went in the army because there was purposelessness here in the society. They went in to get a job, as I did during the Korean War. Despair, joblessness. So they went in to find purpose and end up going to fight a battle, fight a war.
Gail Walker is a member of the Interreligious Foundation for Community Organizations and says African Americans have supported just wars in the past, but there's a growing opposition about invading Iraq.
The black community is not stupid. We heard Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blick when he said that he saw nothing that prompted a war. And thanks to the alternative media, we listened as member after member of the UN Security Council called for diplomacy and not war in response to Secretary of State Colin Powell's call for war. In fact, we are reminded today of the courage and the conviction of Representative Barbara Lee, who cast the lone vote in the House of Representatives against President Bush's against giving him broad authority to attack suspected terrorists. And despite death threats, she held her ground.
Councilmember Bill Perkins is also a co-sponsor of the proclamation and cited the enormous cost that will affect everyone.
The money that we are going to be spending, in other words, is going to have an impact on our health care, it's going to have an impact on our welfare reform policies, it's going to have an impact on our educational policies. Our public schools are drowning because of the fact that we don't have the necessary resources, and this country is moving ahead into a war that we know will drain the little bit of resources that we have.
The next move for the New York City Council is to join the over 93 other U.S. cities which are declaring no to war with Iraq. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Dred Scott Keyes.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
Hello, me little lovelies. So remember, you better listen to this song real close. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't, I'm going to jump through your speakers and rip your bloody arms off.
WUSB.
And I will too.
In Stony Brook.
Don't forget it.
Your radio station.
Especially you, stupid.
She rides a black bike.
I do.
And drives through the night.
Secretary Tom Ridge of the Department of Homeland Security. Congratulations. You've taken an important step toward surviving in an emergency. Here at the Department of Homeland Security, we're working hard to prepare our nation, but each of us must be ready to make it on our own, at least for a period of time, no matter where we are when disaster strikes. Stay on the line to receive our free brochure with simple tips that could save your life. Or go to www.ready.gov. You can do something to protect your family and yourself against the threat of terrorism. And the time to prepare is now.
If you'd like to receive our free brochure, Preparing Makes Sense, get ready now. Press 1. If you'd like to learn more right away, go online to www.ready.gov. Or press 2 for a few simple tips.
The fight against terror begins at home. With a little planning and some common sense, you can be better prepared. The first step is to begin a process of learning about potential threats, so you are able to react during an emergency. Be prepared to assess the situation and to use whatever you have on hand to take care of yourself and your loved ones. Now, depending on your circumstances and the nature of the attack, You might do better by staying put. Or it might be better to get away. You should understand and plan for both possibilities. Think about fresh water, food, and clean air. You will need a gallon of water per person per day and food that won't go bad. Keep basic emergency supplies like a radio, flashlight, extra batteries, and a first aid kit. Store heavyweight garbage bags and duct tape to seal windows, doors, and air vents from outside contamination.
Is this really necessary?
While there is no way to predict what will happen or what your personal circumstances will be, there are things you can do now.
No, I mean, it's my
to
show.
Learn
I
more
just
about how to get ready
while...
now, right. Go online to www.ready.gov.
Thanks for calling the Department of Homeland Security. Terrorism forces us to make a choice. We can be afraid, or we can be ready.
No, so I don't really, you know, I don't really mind that much. It's just that he's kind of intruding on my program here. Oh, okay, that switch was on after all. How you doing? Manuel Goldstein here with you off the wall. That was Tom Ridge barging in yet again. If you've been listening to radio, TV over the past couple of weeks, you'll notice that he's barging in increasingly. And there's nothing we can do to stop him, apparently. It's really kind of sad. But that's, yeah, we do have a choice. We can be ready or we can be afraid. So either go to www.ready.gov or www.afraid.gov and make your choice, you know, if you want to duct tape up your life or run through the streets screaming. It's a free country. You have a choice. All right, this is our second week here on the radio station. Yes, they actually asked us back. And thanks to all the people who wrote in with comments, suggestions, words of support, that kind of thing. It was really good to hear from people. OTW at 2600.com. And there's something I'd like people to do right away. I'd like people to go to a website if they can. And if it winds up interfering with what it is you're listening to, then by all means do not do that. I would like for people to go to nyc.indymedia.org. And don't tell me you don't know how to spell indie media. It's not spelled like indie music. It's spelled the other way. INDYMEDIA.ORG. And go there and scroll down to the bottom of the page. And you will see some video that's been uploaded. This is video from the demonstration of a week and a half ago. The weekend before, this weekend that just passed. This is video that actually, I was very surprised by this. The press in New York came to a press conference held by Indie Media, and they picked up on the story. They actually picked up on the story of police brutality during this demonstration. Now, I was at the demonstration. I talked about it last week a little bit, about how it was difficult to get to First Avenue, and we had to actually fool the police. We had to lie to them. We had to literally sneak around behind their backs. And I got to tell you, it didn't feel good doing that. It didn't feel good tricking them like that. I always feel a little guilty when that kind of thing happens. But we got to First Avenue. We got to where the actual rally was. All the people were really still in the streets. They weren't actually at the rally because the police would not let them get to the rally. And that's a real problem. That's a real sort of defeating the whole purpose of having a rally in the first place. So what happened in the streets, I kind of wish I had stayed where all the people were who were trying to get there. It just seemed very frustrating not being able to get to where you wanted to go. And most people weren't able to trick the police and figure out a way to get past them. But that's where the real activity was taking place. And by activity, I mean things that that really the city of New York should be ashamed of. And if you watch this video, I wanted to play it on the air, actually, but unfortunately our Macintosh is not capable of the latest in QuickTime, apparently. That's too bad. Would have made a good backdrop for Tom Ridge, having the sound of police repression going in the same time. But if you look at this video, you'll see all kinds of things happening that I don't care what your position is, there simply is no excuse for. there just is no excuse for police lunging into crowds of people that are obviously penned in and have no place to go. It's sickening. I mean, it's really sickening. You'll see video of police basically charging at people who aren't doing anything other than standing there, maybe chanting. And there was one instance in particular, this is probably the most frightening part that I saw, where people are standing around, and again, they have no place to go because they can't get anywhere. This is the police tactic in New York. They pen people into little cubes, and then they punish anybody who happens to fall outside the cube because there's too many people there, or even people that look at them crooked. But in this particular case, there were people actually in the street, and this one crazy cop just rides his horse straight into the crowd. God knows what kind of effect it had on the people that were standing right in the way. And you know, when I was watching the mass media accounts the day after it was all over, and I was hearing reports of some demonstrators causing problems, including one demonstrator that actually punched a horse in the face. And you know, then I was asking, well, let's see some evidence of that, first of all, because, you know, with enough video cameras around, you can pretty much capture people tying their shoes, you know, and know if they actually did it or not. It's, everything is documented with the amount of a video that's going on there. And in the back of my mind, I was saying to myself, you know, somebody actually did do something like that, punching a horse. That's, you know, how low can you get? But, you know, after seeing this video, after watching what the police were doing, what the horses were being told to do, I could see it. You know, I could definitely see it. If I'm standing in a crowd of people and this four-legged beast comes running at me, I might just smack the critter in the face. Yeah, I might just do that. It's called the survival instinct taking over. It's called not allowing yourself to literally be trod upon. And, you know, I got to tell you, the same kind of attitude would extend to any human doing the same thing. I don't care how many helmets or guns or bulletproof vests they have. If people are attacking you, there's only so much of it you can take before you have to strike back. And, yeah, I know what you're saying. Survival instinct. What kind of survival instinct is that to actually strike back against cops who will simply kill you? I didn't say the survival instinct always worked. It's an instinct. You can't really control it. But there's only so much people can take. And when you know, that kind of thing happens, watching this video, I just was amazed that people were able to stand back so much and allow this to happen. I don't know. It's always been a thing with me with bullies, people who use intimidation tactics. I guess it goes back to, probably goes all the way back to elementary school, but Mostly junior high school, now that I think about it. Mostly junior high school. That's where I seemed to have the most problem with bullies. They were all over the place. It was like competition. It was an open market for bullies there. You basically establish your turf and, you know, get your various underlings in line. And you get ranked in, like, the bully rankings of the week or whatever. I don't know. It was you know how there's always these kids in school? There's always somebody who is picked on by everybody. You know, it's because they have, like, you know, a funny name, or because they look weird, or because they do something incredibly stupid. I don't know what it was with me. I'm not sure why I became a target. I think I know. I think I have a suspicion. It's because the way I lived was different than everybody else. And back then, that was enough. It's probably still enough now, but it seems to me that in today's society, there's a bit more variety, a bit more tolerance. I could be wrong, but that's just the way it feels. Back then, I was in the first family ever. I'm not kidding about this, because I lived in one of these, like, little development areas where everybody knew everybody. And I was the first family that actually had parents who were divorced. I'm not kidding. That was enough right there. And because of that, actually, there were a few links to this. Because my parents were divorced, I lived in a house that didn't have a car. Oh, boy. The only house that did not have a car in all of suburbia. That's enough for a beating right there, you know. That's that gets the bully's attention. They come after you for things like that. And, of course, because of that, you know, there were all kinds of other little things that were affected as well, such as not having a very nice lawn. Because, you know, if you didn't have a car, you couldn't get enough supplies to make the lawn look nice. And, you know, as a kid, for some reason, that meant a lot to me. For some reason, that was something that I really had to have. I had to be like everybody else. I had to try and conform. It meant so much, and I cursed everything about me that was different. And maybe that was part of it, too. Maybe that sense of shame was enough to have bullies come after you. I don't know. But to get back to the survival instinct, you know, it happened time and time again where basically you're just kind of shaken down for lunch money or just, you know, attacked for no particular reason at all, just because you happen to be walking down the hallway and the other person's walking down the hallway at the same time. And, you know, this went on for weeks, months. And I could see, you know, a pattern taking form here where basically I just lived the rest of my life in intimidation. And one day I just had enough. One day I just said, this is not going to be my life. This is not going to be who I am. And the next time I was actually attacked or just pushed or shoved or something like that, I did strike back with all my might. And as I was doing this, I was thinking of all those other poor, pathetic kids that were being picked on for more legitimate reasons because they really did look funny and they really did have strange names and they really were weirdos. And, you know, I was trying to be normal at least. But I thought of them. I thought of them as I hit my attacker with all my might. I should have gone for the face, but now instead I just hit the shoulder. I guess I have something against hitting people in the face. I've never actually, you know, been in a physical brawl before, so I didn't really know all the rules. And, of course, I got the stuffing beat out of me after that. But, so, you know, the survival instinct does not actually accomplish as much as you might think it did. Regretted that day for a very long time. But I knew I couldn't stand by and let this kind of thing happen to me. And it's that same kind of survival instinct. Oh, and by the way, the heat was off me after a couple of weeks because some kid with the name of Clayton moved into town, and that was just a free-for-all for everybody, and I was quickly forgotten after that. It's not going to be so easy fighting back in the present day to abusers of various sorts, to bullies of various sorts, but you still have to do it. There's a time when the Martin Luther King in me kind of backs down and the Malcolm X comes forward, you know, and it doesn't always lead to positive things, but sometimes you just have to strike back in various ways. So that's the deal with surviving in this crazy world. It's not always easy. And I think that's probably what motivates me. Whenever I see somebody, I don't know, attacking somebody because they're stronger. You know, whether it's an individual person, whether it's a cop, whether it's a government, you just have to speak out. You have to do something about it. And what you do may not be enough. It may, in fact, make things more uncomfortable for you. But it's got to be better than doing nothing. So that's my feelings when I look at this, when I look at this video. It's really frustrating, annoying, horrible. And I'm glad that there were people there to document what was happening. And those people put themselves in harm's way, and next time there'll be more people putting themselves in harm's way until we actually get something fixed, get something done, get someone to take account for their actions. There is no excuse for the things that that you see in this. There's no excuse for police riding horses into crowds. There's no excuse for police hitting people with nightsticks or intimidating them in various ways. There's one part of the video where you see this old lady in I think this took place in Times Square, where she's just being penned in by these really aggressive cops in helmets, and just the look of fear and concern on her face is enough to really make you ask yourself, what are these people doing? What's wrong with them? There were no riots going on. There were just a bunch of people, you know, people trying to express themselves, and this is considered a threat? There's something wrong here. And that's, Mr. Tom Ridge, that's something you should be looking into. We're supposed to report things that look unusual. We're supposed to report things that aren't quite right. We're supposed to be watching our neighbors and seeing if they act suspicious. Well, all of this fits those criteria. Absolutely. So consider this a report. 631-632-WUSB is our telephone number. Want to thank everybody who wrote in and people who called in. We had a number of listeners last week on our premiere show from around the world, actually. We were able to see how many people actually are connecting to our online web stream, and it's pretty impressive. I have to say, though, most of the online people aren't calling in. It's mostly people in the local area. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. There's plenty to say, and we try to take things from a world perspective. And, yeah, you might not be able to pronounce the towns here. A lot of people from here can't pronounce the towns from here, but we won't make fun of you, at least not that much. Most of the snow is gone, as I predicted. In a week, snow is pretty much evaporated, although for some reason I live on a street that still has not been plowed, if you can believe that. it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, I love this weather. I really do. I love snow. I love, you know, hardship of various sorts when it's weather inspired. And, but that means certain things have to change. Like, you know, you can't take the garbage out. Yeah, the garbage is kind of stuck in your house when you don't have a road for the garbage truck to come down. In fact, I don't even have a driveway that, like, I have one of these long driveways that, you just don't want to shovel it. You know, you read about all the people getting heart attacks from shoveling, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, I could walk through the snow just as easily. I don't need to shovel. It's kind of fun walking through the snow, especially when there are 6-foot drifts, and there were 6-foot drifts. That was kind of neat, you know. Walking through, it's like being in an igloo. So I asked somebody. I actually called up a snowplow company. I had no intention of getting it done. I was not interested in getting it done, but I was interested in how much it would cost to get it done. So I called someone who had advertised, put up one of those signs saying snow plowing. Usually the sign is a complete piece of nonsense because there's never any snow around here. But now we finally have the snow of the millennium, and this person's got more business than he can handle, obviously. But I asked, you know, okay, I've got this driveway. I told him how long it was. How much do you think that would cost, you know, to shovel? And he's like, oh, probably about $100, $150. $150 to shovel a driveway. I could just keep walking down the driveway, you know, and the snow is going to melt. And in a week, I will have saved $150 plus tip. Who knows how much that's going to be? You know, you got to tip these people. I think you have to tip these people. I don't know. So I felt great, you know. If I can just continue walking down my driveway instead of having to have it plowed or shoveled or whatever, I've got all this money, all this extra money that I did not spend. I mean, that's really kind of cool. I don't understand why people, when they know that a big snow is coming, they don't park their car someplace else so they don't have to shovel it out of their own driveway and simply deal with walking up and down the driveway for a week or so, if that long, and not have to worry and have $150 extra or however much your driveway would wind up costing. I don't know. People can't adapt. It's hard for people to adapt, I guess. They want everything to be just right, and if you can't get up your driveway with your car for one day, it's a big crisis. But, you know, if you just hang in there for a little bit, you wind up saving all this trouble, all this money. So I'm trying to figure out what to do with my $150. I don't know if anybody else out there saved anything. But, of course, there are inconveniences. Having garbage in the kitchen for a week, that's an inconvenience. Now, here's the thing. This led to a whole big to-do because, well, strangeness happens sometimes when the weather is different. And I came home one day last week, and the garbage had been broken into. There's no other way to describe it. You know, plastic bags on the ground, you know, on the floor, and somebody had torn into them. And there was garbage on the floor. And that didn't make me very happy. And I asked around, hey, did you do this? Did you break into the... Were you hungry? Why would somebody break into our own garbage? It doesn't make any sense. And of course, no humans did it, but the biggest suspect at that time was the cat. Because not only was you know, the garbage broken into, but the cat food was gone. All the cat food was gone. So maybe we're not feeding the cat enough or something like that. You know, it's kind of weird. The cat doesn't usually do things like that. But okay, here's some more food, cat. Don't do that again. Let's rebag the garbage. Next day, same exact thing. Garbage broken into. The cat's eaten all its food. And not only that, for some reason, the water's all dirty. The cat water is all dirty. So, you know, I'm asking the cat here, what's gotten into you? Why are you doing this? Stop this. This is not cool. We have no place to put the garbage. It has to stay here for now. It doesn't help matters if you're going to be tearing into it and putting garbage all over the floor. Not to mention, it's probably not good for you. And you want more food? Fine. We'll give you more food. Here's more food. Stay away from the garbage. At around this point, when it happened the third time, I started to suspect maybe it's not the cat. Maybe there's some other kind of creature that's doing this. But what kind of creature would be doing this? And how's the water getting all dirty? It doesn't really make much sense. So, during the day, I decided to try a little experiment. I closed off... I left the food in there, left the garbage in there, closed off the kitchen, put the cat on the other side, just to see if maybe there was another animal that was eating something. And after about, you know, 6 or 7 hours, I looked in. Everything was still as it was supposed to be. So that told me right there's a problem with the cat. Why is the cat eating more? Why is the cat drinking more? Why is the cat dirtying its water? Why is the cat breaking into the garbage? And why is the cat acting like nothing is wrong? You know? Why is he looking so innocent? So I went out on the web and started looking up what this could possibly be. Heard all kinds of things. It could be diabetes. It could be kidney problems. It could be a tapeworm. Your cat may have a tapeworm. So started making plans to bring the cat into the vet if this kind of thing continued to find out just what in the world was going on. Meanwhile, the cat's just, you know, acting like everything is perfectly normal and fine. I decided just one more time, when it happened a couple of more times, it happened really, really fast. And I could swear the cat was in another part of the house when it happened. So I decided, okay, one more time, I'm just going to close off this part of the house and see if anything else happens. And you know, my friends are saying to me, why don't you just take out the garbage already? Why don't you just get rid of the garbage from the kitchen? And then, if there is an animal, if it is your cat, this won't be happening. You know, don't be such a slob and you won't have any problems. These problems will go away if you just clean up the garbage. And, you know, I saw the logic. I really saw the logic in that statement. But there's a part of me that wanted to know what was causing this. What was happening here? I wanted to find out. And that, to me, was more important than a little clean living. So anyway, I closed off the door second time. This time it was at night. Maybe that'll make a difference. I don't know. And inside of an hour, I went down to look, and everything was gone, and the garbage had been gone through again. So that time I knew, okay, the cat's innocent here. The cat's got nothing to do with this. There's nothing wrong with the cat. But we have a problem. And what kind of creature is doing this? We have to find out what kind of creature is doing this so that we know how to deal with it. You know, if it's a mouse, you deal with it one way. If it's a rat, you deal with it another way. It could be all kinds. It could be a snake. You don't know, you know. Maybe it's a crazy human. Who knows what's going on here? So I have this camera, this video camera. It has a really neat function. It allows you to film things periodically, kind of like a security camera, I guess. And I set it to record half a second every 30 seconds. Half a second every 30 seconds. So basically I set this thing up on a tripod and pointed it straight at the cat food dish, which was full of food. Set the thing up and went away for a while. And just had it filming. And then I came back about 10 hours later. I wanted to give this this thing enough time to do whatever it had to do. And sure enough, when I came back, it was all gone. All the food was gone. And the video was running. And I got to tell you, it was pretty frightening watching the video. You know, you're plugging the video into the TV set because you know something's going to happen. You know something is going to show up on that video screen, and odds are it's going to be kind of scary, because this thing was eating a lot of food. I've got some large animal or second pet of some sort in the house that I don't know about, and I'm trying to find out what it is. So, watch the video, and about 3 minutes in, which translates to about, I guess, 8 hours in, I see it. I see the creature. One of the biggest raccoons I've ever seen in my life. A raccoon in my kitchen. With all the windows closed, all the doors closed. It was pretty scary. How did a raccoon get into my house every night? Damn good thing I didn't let the cat down there, because raccoons and cats do not get along, and cats don't always win. In fact, they oftentimes lose. It turned out to be a chimney that the thing was coming down through. A chimney with an opening that I wasn't aware of. So now I know. Now I know what has to be done. I know how the animal is getting in. It's the kind of thing that you need to know. You need to know if you have an intrusion of some sort. And a lot of this goes towards the world of computers as well. If somebody breaks into a computer, yeah, you can patch the hole. You can turn off an offending program. But, damn, you really want to know how they're doing it. You really want to know who's doing it. I can sort of understand all the system administrators that have to lose all kinds of hours of sleep to find something. But when you find out what it is, you feel so great. I didn't want to hurt the raccoon. I didn't want to kill him. I didn't want to do anything like that. I just wanted to figure out a way to keep him from going out. Or from coming in, rather. Definitely wanted him to go out. I mean, raccoons, they're the ultimate hackers. They figure out problems. They they solve things. They have hands. You know, they can open things. And that's what this guy was doing. And in fact, I hear him. I managed to seal up the hole, but I hear him on the other side trying to kick it through again. And boy, that's frightening, knowing that there's something like that, something of that kind of intelligence, like, you know, trying to figure out ways to get around your security systems. All right, shall we take some phone calls? 631-632-WUSB, which translates to 631-632-9872. I should point out, too, for those of you on the Internet, that there is a one-minute delay when you hear the signal. We did some testing on this. So that means that, obviously, you have a bit of a handicap getting in. So we'll give you enough time. We'll give you enough time to catch up with the rest of us. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, and I don't know where you are. You could be in the UK, like one of our callers last week, or you could be here in Stony Brook, or you could be all kinds of places. That's the magic of the internet. Three calls on the line. We have room for five. I'd like to see a bunch of calls come in. I know it's a pain in the ass, because if you call and it doesn't answer, a lot of phone companies cut you off. There's nothing we can do about that. 631-632-WUSB. Okay, let's take this call here. Those of you on the Internet, country code 1. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening. I'm sorry to report I'm just around the corner from you.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's I don't mean to discourage the people who are here on campus in the studio. You know, all those people are welcome to call.
I would like to know if you could give the location of the link again for that video clip.
Absolutely. It's nyc.indymedia.com?
.org, but it's a...
.org, that's what I meant to say.
Right, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. nyc.indymedia, that's indymedia.org.
And where's the link, though?
If you scroll down, you'll see a bunch of news stories. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, and I think it's the second story from the bottom. And that has some video options there. You can stream the video, you can download the video, you can watch it high quality, low quality, and hopefully your computer can handle it. The one here can't, but the one I was looking at before can.
Okay.
So, yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, 631-632-WUSB, and this is what every talk show host is afraid of when there's no calls on the line. Now, again, let me appeal to the people out there on the internet. Please give us a call. I know it's going to take a minute. It's like being stranded on Mars or something. You have to ask for help, and it takes a while for the signal to get back to Mission Control so that they can actually answer you. We do want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinions on various things, whether it be how you were affected by the weather, how you deal with abusive cops, how you deal with abusive people in school, what do you think of Tom Ridge, all that kind of thing. 631-632-WUSB or 631-632-6901, your choice. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How you doing?
I'm in West Hampton right now.
I'm sorry, you were?
I'm in West Hampton.
West Hampton.
Yes, I'm actually moving. I'm going towards Riverhead, but.
So you're on a cell phone, I guess, right?
I am.
Okay. I hope you're on a legal cell phone because you know they made it illegal in New York to talk on cell phones.
You know what? I'm actually going to pull over.
It's a good idea with all the maniacs on the road. You know,
you have
to be careful. So what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to let everyone know about a really interesting website that I recently visited. And it's called www.bushorchimp.com. Bush is in the president.
Uh-huh.
Chimp. And it has some really interesting pictures of our president besides pictures of chimpanzees. And they're all in, like, doing the same kind of pose. It's hilarious.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Welcome to www.bushorchimp.com.
There's different galleries, like different... Like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think.
I'm not a member of any political party. I have nothing in particular against the man. I just think he kind of looks like a chimpanzee.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, those pictures. I've seen these pictures before, and, oh, boy. You know, whoever did this really really devoted a lot of time to it. And really, yeah, it's. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. Bushorchimp.com.
Bushorchimp.com.
That's pretty cool. So what else is on your mind?
Not much. I just got out of a college class in St. Joseph, and I'm heading out to the North Fork.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought that was kind of a funny website. My friend from Paris, who is anti-Bush, was really into that whole thing, so he kind of gave me an email about that. And I just wanted to share that with some people and make a few people laugh.
Well, you made me laugh, and I'm sure everybody who's looking at this site right now is also laughing. I don't know if Tom Ridge would find it funny or if George W. Bush would find it funny. But I doubt they use browsers anyway, so.
Yeah.
All right. All right, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
I think people are shy, you know? I think that's what it is. Because at the other radio show, which, by the way, is not on tomorrow because we're preempted for the fundraiser for the other radio station, but at the other radio station, boy, it's always full, and it's not only people listening locally; it's a lot of people listening from around the world. So it's probably just a hard telephone number to remember. That must be it, right? Yeah, 631-632. Okay, that's easy enough. And then WUSB, our call letters. Very simple. Well, okay, I'll read some news stories, and hopefully we'll get some calls in the time I'm doing this. What do you think about this? The New York Liberal Party has shut down. Yeah, in case you didn't know it, there is a Liberal Party in New York. It's billed by members as the longest existing third party in the nation, and it's shut down after nearly 60 years of helping to elect candidates from Franklin Roosevelt to Rudolf Giuliani. I don't know how they helped with Rudolf Giuliani. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense if you're liberal, but maybe that's why they shut down. I don't know, out of shame. The Liberal Party failed to collect the 50,000 votes it needed in November's gubernatorial race to maintain its status as a recognized party. And as a result, the party lost its automatic ballot slots in New York, and its members officially became unenrolled or independent voters for election purposes. Party leaders decided to shut down rather than petition their way onto each ballot. They closed their state headquarters in December and last month announced the party's demise. So much for multi-party states, eh? 631-632-6901, 631-632-WUSB. We have one call on the line. Web people, internet people, let's hear from you. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Atlanta, actually. I'm here.
Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes. I was the guy that you met on the little tour.
Oh, you're the person that showed up at the CNN Center.
Yes, I am.
Okay, just for people to know, we embarked on a tour of the country. This is all in keeping with the Kevin Mitnick Liberation Tour. And we stopped in Atlanta. We did an edition of Off the Hook right from where they do Talk Back Live. It's inside a mall. And we mentioned it on the air, and this guy actually came and showed up. Well, you live in Atlanta, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what's going on in that city?
I had a comment about ready.gov.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is actually related to the other show last week.
Off the Hook, go ahead.
Where you mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
And you made one point about they misspelled break.
They did misspell break.
Yes, they did. And I went to sleep after the show, and then I woke up about 2 a.m. And right when you mentioned it, I ran a mirror on the site. Because, you know, they like to change these things.
Right.
Anyway, by the time I woke up, it was like 2 a.m., and I checked the site again, and they had changed it.
Now, just so people know, this was in the section of Ready.gov called In a Moving Vehicle. And the sentence reads, and I was making fun of the sentence because, you know, I thought it was a ridiculous sentence. If there is an explosion or other factor that makes it difficult to control the vehicle, pull over, stop the car, and set the parking brake. Now, that sentence in itself is stupid because if there's an explosion or another factor that makes it difficult to control a vehicle, how in the world are you going to be able to pull over and stop it and set the parking brake? But as I was reading it, I realized that the idiots had spelled brake wrong. They spelled it B-R-E-A-K. And I kind of mocked them on the air. Now, what time do you think they fixed it?
I have no way to really know, but I mean, I think it really shows that somebody's listening.
Yeah, well, they definitely are listening. In fact, when you run websites, you can see who is, and a lot of people don't realize this, you can see who is actually connecting to you. Not their username, but you can see the site. And so if say, the NSA or the CIA or the Secret Service or even the Executive Office of the President, if they look at your website, you can see it pretty quickly. And I'm not going to say who connected to our website, but, you know, a lot of very interesting organizations have.
I have the mirrors up if anyone wants to see them. I actually got two. The other one I got was our friend DARPA.mil.
Uh-huh.
And one, you know, the IAO site where they had the ominous, the Illuminati.
Yeah, that's a total information awareness logo.
That's the one. They took that down real quick, too, but I made sure to get that one. The other thing they took down on that site, though, is they used to have a link to the personnel, and they don't want you to see who works there anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want to go to it, you go to 8088.org slash mirrors. That's 8088.
8088, you said?
Yeah, you know, like the Intel program.
Right. .org slash what?
Mirrors.
Okay.
It's just a directory index.
Okay, yeah, I see it there. And we have DARPA.mil, we have ready.gov, and we have a temp directory, too, which I assume...
That's just crap.
Okay, that's just... yeah, I'm looking at ready.gov now, and I'm going to click on In a Moving Vehicle and see if it's there. Yep, there it is. There it is. It's the original spelling of the word break there.
It's really funny if you run a diff on the different sites to see what they change every day. I mean, they change some other stuff in there, too. There were some grammar errors.
Uh-huh.
I guess they really go through and look at them when you make fun of them.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But that's what everyone should do. They should mirror this stuff so people see when it changes.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing you can do with the internet is copy things. We ran a story recently where some reporter at Computer World was fooled into believing somebody really existed when they didn't. And they ran a story about it, and then they deleted the story. But we had already copied it, and it's on our site now. So, you know, the evidence is there. They can pretend they didn't say it. They can change the story. But once you put something out, it's there. And that's the beauty of it, that anybody can copy it.
I'm going to let someone else get on now, but I just want to say that this is a great show. It's a good supplement to Off the Hook.
Well, thanks. Do you know about how long the delay is? Are you listening now?
No, I got to turn down, so I won't... Uh-huh. I can turn it up.
Turn it up and let's hear where we are.
It's just a directory index. So it's pretty bad.
Okay. Maybe it's about 2 minutes. Okay, well, there's a special appeal to more people on the internet because we know you're out there to give us a call because we do want to hear. This is a call-in show. We want to hear from people, and we like to get feedback. We don't have enough time on the other show to always get to everybody, so this is a good opportunity for people to get through to us. 631-632-WUSB. Thanks down there in Atlanta, and hope to hear from you again soon.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, take care. That's basically it as far as that website goes. I'm sure you'll find a lot of other interesting things in there, a lot of other topics and all kinds of things on biological threats, chemical threats, just general explosions, nuclear blasts, and radiation threats. Oh, it's just like going back into the 1950s. With a game of 650. Okay, I didn't know that. So that means we're out of here in like 7 minutes. Okay. That's something we don't have on BAI. We don't have games on BAI, but we have games here on WUSB. What kind of game is it?
Basketball.
Basketball. Really? Oh, hi, Matt. How you doing?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was you. Matt's here. Matt's, of course, those of you who listened to Brain Damage way back, Matt would sometimes do Brain Damage as well.
That's right.
It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. And game is at 6:50. It will be the women against Binghamton. America
East
Action. I
say the women against the men.
No, it's the women's basketball team against Binghamton. The men play Binghamton tomorrow night.
It's the women's basketball team versus the women's basketball team at Binghamton,
right.
Not against the whole city of Binghamton.
Oh, of course not.
They'd lose that. They're good, but they'd lose that, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
They're outnumbered.
All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, my name's Karen.
Hi, how you doing? Where are you calling from?
Lake Grove.
Lake Grove. Cool. Beautiful place.
Listen to you all the time. Love the show.
Well, thanks. You listen to this show all the time? Because we've only been on twice.
The other station.
Okay, the other station.
Just two. Last week and this week.
Uh-huh.
So I will be listening.
Cool. So what's on your mind?
I just have a wondering, like, everything that goes on, I let's just for an instance, last year I had a, my quote of the year was, I've been kicked in the head by the mule of knowledge. And that was basically like reading too much, learning too much, not too much, but enough to, like, my life has changed and my feelings have changed. I just, you know what I mean by knowing too much now? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not, I find, like, where is the joy and the happiness when you know so much? And you, I mean, what you know, what you've experienced.
Right.
How do you balance that? And do you ever think of leaving, moving out of the country? Because I'm kind of considering that.
Those are very good questions. And, yeah, you know, the knowledge sometimes, the awareness can be a curse. But I think the strength comes from other people that are going through the same thing at the same time. You can't get too embittered by this. And even though, and this is what I say to people that, you know, that walk away from things like newspapers and television, you can't just walk away because they're still there. You have to stay, and that's the reason why I also don't believe you can walk away from the country. You have to stay, you have to fight, you have to make these things better.
Would never leave?
I mean, it depends, you know, if the North Koreans start firing nuclear bombs at us and, you know, all kinds of things are going on, everyone's going crazy, I don't know, I might consider a vacation somewhere. But no, for now, I think we are needed here. We're needed at home to fix
you've
this.
You've been all over the world and you've seen, like, the more liberal ways that other countries can, let's say, just conduct themselves and... you know, more progressive in their treatment of their citizens and that sort of thing, that never entices you to go.
It basically, it inspires me. It inspires me to make some more changes here. If I didn't go to those places, I probably would be all depressed and think there's no hope. But I know there is because I've seen things work in other places. And that's, you know, a lot of people think that's anti-American talk. No, it's not. It's trying to make your country better. It's trying to, you know, to figure out ways to improve things and try some new ideas.
The whole anti-American thing just...
The true people who are anti-America are the people who are basically shattering all of our rights left and right.
Oh, it's so backwards, and I can't even confront anything because I get so tongue-tied. Like, it's like putting on the O'Reilly factor and going, uh-huh. like, oh. Just going, die, you know, and I don't want to feel that way, but I get so enraged. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I did go to the rally on the 15th and felt so elated.
Good.
So,
and that's what, you know, true patriotism is, people
I
doing things like that.
I actually have to say I was in tears. I was so getting emotional now thinking about it. But
all right. Happy. Listen, we're out of time, unfortunately.
I was stuck on 53rd and 3rd.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even get, you know, I was watching, I was standing up on a little hydrant.
Right.
Protecting this. There was a little old woman behind me.
Uh-huh.
And we were just getting crushed against as the barricades went up. And I was like, I just thought, this lady is not going to die. I will take the, you know, I plastered myself. It was like a granite.
Right.
And I just like, I kind of wedged myself there. So, you know, she was stuck in the corner sitting on this little hydrant thing. So she finally made it out. And then I climbed up on this hydrant thing and then witnessed them starting to bring these barricades in and clearing out the sidewalk.
It's pretty horrible.
Like, you know.
Yeah. Listen, I really hate to do this, but they're ordering us out of here, unfortunately, because the game is starting in a few minutes. Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week, though. So please call back and tell us more of the story because it sounds fascinating. I'd like to hear more.
Yeah. Great show.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
And I guess that's going to do it for us this week. We're out of time, but we'll be back again next Tuesday at 6. Hopefully we'll hear from more of you people online and off the hook a week from tomorrow at 7 on the other station. Good night. Listed a testimonial to No Apologies.
Well, it's very conventional. I don't know. It's kind of just relies on sort of some kind of simplistic folk ideology.
That's true, actually. I'd agree with that.
You can still catch No Apologies here on WUSB, alternate Saturdays at 3 a.m. here on WUSB, Stony Brook. Join Jeff Bernstein at the Indoor Sports Complex. Jeff? Thank you.
The Stony Brook Seawolves women's basketball team will take on the Binghamton Bearcats in America East action. Binghamton comes into today's game with a